stick. He don't need no ball and chain. If he ain't got no hand to kick, that don't mean nothing to change. Good morning, Little Saigon. It's Saturday, June the 22nd. June the 22nd, 2019, I believe on June the 22nd, I could be wrong, but I believe it was June the 22nd, 1941, the German forces launched their invasion of the Soviet Union. And at that moment, two great nations of bullshit waged war with each other. That's great. Anywho, this is obviously the Little Saigon Report, and that was an intro song from a TV show I don't remember watching back in the 70s. It may have only lasted a season. It was called James at 15. Somebody that listens to my podcast had turned me on to this. Someone had directed me towards this gobbledygook, this glumbus, this trash. This is shit. Basically, from what I can tell, this was some sort of predictive programming show in the 70s to convince teenage kids that, you know, having lots of sex and becoming alcoholics, getting pregnant, and getting venereal disease is just normal teenage behavior. And I'm sure it was in places like New York City back in the day. I'm sure I didn't grow up there. I didn't grow up in that hellhole. So anyways, fuck that. So yeah, he ain't got no walking stick. He don't need no ball and chain. He ain't got no candy kick. That don't mean nothing to James. Ho, 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 James singing, oh, James. The people in the streets outpouring of the rain. Is it a feeling in the heart or is it something you can name? Ho, 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 James. The people in the streets are the pouring of the rain. Is it a feeling in your heart or is it something you can name? This is so much fucking bullshit. Fuck. But I'll tell you. I will tell you that societies fall apart in rather strange ways. Civilizations, societies fall apart in strange and discontinuous ways. Anyways, it is indeed the Little Saigon Report, and I don't know why I went off on that tangent about James at 15. I really, really don't know why I did. I think this will be a relatively compact podcast today because in about an hour I have to be on the train because I have to go buy a lot of shit today. I'm hiring a person to drive me around to buy plastic containers to store up on food and water, to get a backpack, a sleeping bag, some 550 cord, a hatchet. You could say these are things, just random ephemera, random bits and pieces collected that form a fabric of some type of strange construct. You could contend that. Are you that strange traveler of yesteryear that doesn't know why a person might need three or four bales of concertina wire? Don't forget the gloves. Any person, even an ordinary person who's not into prepping, could use some concertina wire, a bale or two, preferably three. Three bales, maybe 60 to 100 feet in length, but probably maybe 60 feet. You put those in the trunk of your car with the gloves you need, because you don't want to handle concertina wire without gloves. You'll need the fencing poles. to anchor the concertina wire, but yes, everybody could use some concertina wire. Does that make me crazy? But I'm not buying concertina wire today yet. I am thinking of buying like a single strand of concertina wire because, as crazy as this sounds, it's relatively light. You could carry it with you as long as you put it in a special, really a metallic bag. You need to understand something about concertina wire. It's also called razor wire. The reason why it's called concertina wire is because, like a concertina, it expands and contracts. So it's relatively compact if you know how to pack it. But you need to put it into something that it's not likely to rip. So probably a semi-metal fabric bag, you know. And make sure you get the fucking gloves. And if you don't know what I mean by the concertina wire gloves, then good luck with the hand surgery. But yeah, I don't mean the fucking shitty ass work gloves you buy at 7-Eleven, you fuck. I don't mean the crappy Home Depot fucktard gloves. I mean actual gloves for handling concertina wire, which contain metal strands in the palms. Anyways, I don't want to explain this any further. But if you have to, if you're a prepper and you have a go bag in your car and other emergency equipment, as crazy as it sounds, one bale of concertina wire in your car could be one of the cheapest investments in security if you ever find yourself conked out on the side of the road in the apocalypse. Okay? In the very least, you could surround your little encampment with it. And yeah, you could argue, Dan, that's crazy. Crazy people think that way. Why would you think that way? Because it's Pride Month. Anyways, first topic has to do with Pride Month. I've discussed this issue before. I feel the need to discuss it again because it's not just because of the unisex bathroom confusion at work, which is deeply, deeply distressing for me. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I really, really don't. I'm trying to see how there's a culture in people's junk or how they perceive their junk. And when I say junk, I mean reproductive organs. That's what I mean, folks. I mean your penises and your vaginas, or your perceived penises and vaginas, or I don't know. Yeah. How you build a culture out of your junk is beyond me. I mean, even if you're hermaphrodite, my point is, we all do have various private parts. Frankly, we all have various shapes and sizes. If you want to get right down to it, there is a great variety of humanity, both in terms of the shape of the body and in terms of what goes on in the brain. And I can see many things as the basis of a culture. For example, a deep and abiding belief in human liberty is a wonderful basis for a culture. A belief in human dignity and respect and the non-aggression principle and peace and recognizing that bullies suck. That all bullies suck. I don't care if the bully has a badge. I don't care if the bully wears a uniform and has stars on it and thinks that he or she or it, and we must say it these days because it's Gay Pride Month, I don't really give a fuck. Bullies suck. If you go around bullying people, you're a dirtbag. Now, let's draw a distinction because this is critical. A lot of stupid people in the world, they don't really get this. Using words, though sometimes offensive and maybe even hurtful, is not the equivalent to using force. We've gotten confused, and this is why there's so much insanity out there. If I say something that you think hurts you or might hurt you, if I make you uncomfortable, the simplest solution to that problem is to push the pause button or the stop button or to hit the little X in the browser to close the browser or to fucking turn off your radio or your TV or your computer. If you hear something you don't like, Walk away. Better yet, ask a question, engage. But the fact that you hear words that might, you know, even offend you is not the same as somebody hitting you over the head with a baseball bat. And I'll let you on a little secret. I'll do a fucking test. For all you motherfuckers out there who think that being hit over the head with a baseball bat is the same as hearing a bad word, I would suggest we meet someplace in an alley some night, because there's sure as shit this is not legal what I'm proposing. And you can tell me which you want, an offensive word or to be hit over the head with a baseball bat. You see, I don't think I would do it because I think dirtbags hit people. But I do want to make the simple point that it isn't the fucking same thing. And if you can't recognize that, there's something fucking wrong with you. So let's talk about Pride Month. First and foremost, yes, I'm an anarchist. Yes, I believe in freedom. So what you do with your private parts, hopefully in privacy, because I don't want to see it. If I see you having junk sex, junk connection, I don't care if you're hetero, homo, trans, bi, Z, Z, J, Q, I don't give a fuck. Furries. You know, if you're doing it in private, like dignified fucking people, then guess what? That's your own fucking business. If you're doing it kind of in public, that's something else. I think I'll walk away. You know, assuming I'm not forced to watch, I don't have to fucking watch. But as an anarchist, it's your own fucking business. As long as it's consensual, as long as it's not with children or, frankly, you know, a close relative, as long as it's not with animals, then to be blunt, in terms of my community, as long as you're not hurting people and as long as you do your best to be a decent person about it and do it in fucking private, then I don't give a fuck what you do with your junk. I don't believe your junk is a basis of a culture. So I'm sorry that you missed that fucking class. But no, there is no culture in your junk. The culture you've been given, that's globalist bullshit. That's corporate bullshit. That shit came from Madison Avenue and the deep state. If you think your gay culture is your gay culture, you're about as clueless as people who go out shopping on Black Friday. If you think, you probably think Black Friday is about Jesus too, or Christmas. If you actually believe that bullshit, your culture was constructed. Your culture was built and designed, and guess what? They're not done designing it. That's why it isn't just LGBT. It's not just LGBT. Now it's LGBTQ fucking I plus. That's what the little fucking poster on Microsoft campus says. And what's funny is there's another little Willy Wonka poster on campus. And the other poster says, we're talking about Pride Month. You ever wonder why we're talking about it so much? It actually uses that kind of phrasing, so much. And it's like, firstly, I don't talk about it a lot at work because, frankly, we have work to do. And at Willy Wonka's, something's always broken. That's first. But secondly, I don't fucking give a shit. I mean, here's the deal. I have to work at Willy Wonka's, but when I walk across campus, I am inundated with propaganda. And it's kind of disgusting. And it's one of the things that, you know, I miss about working in a small business. Because in a small business in general, they don't have the fucking resources for internal propaganda. And it would probably be counterproductive as any rational fucking person would recognize. It's ridiculous. Yeah, so anyways, here's the deal. As a person who believes in freedom, what you do with your junk's your business. As a Christian, I have a lot of questions about, you know, homosexuality. I do. And I think they're legitimate fucking questions. Do I think that God hates gay people? No, I don't actually think God hates any person, really. I think God has asked us to do certain things, and I think God would like us to actually treat each other well, which means to not be bullies. Like, step A, first, do no fucking harm. And once again, I need to remind you, this should not apply to fucking speech if you want to live in a free society. But I have to keep reminding people of this shit. I don't want to have to take you all out to the alley with the baseball bat or the bad word. But I feel like most of you are so fucking clueless about what free speech is, I feel like we all need to go to the alley. And you have a choice. You can have the baseball bat or the bad word. And I can promise you. And oh, by the way, you don't get to fight back because that's your fucking Nancy Pants fucking argument about the words. Oh, when you say a bad word, Dan, there's nowhere I can run. Well, guess what? If you come to Uncle Dan's, Dr. Freckles, Global Tontine Club, magical fucking back alley after work at Willy Wonka's, come on down to Little Saigon and we can conduct a little fucking experiment. And you can choose between one of two options. Either having me say something that might make you uncomfortable about your junk or the color of your skin or what you think your sexuality is or what you think your ethnicity is or what you think your religion is or who the fuck you think you are. You can hear something uncomfortable, offensive, or whatever, or, and that's option A, to hear something that might make you feel uncomfortable or offended. Option B is for me to basically swing at you with a bat until I'm tired. And you don't get to do a damn thing. And I'll take a hit at your head first, because even though you'll claim you won't fight back, you will. Everyone does. So yeah, I think the rational fucking human being would choose option A. And in point of fact, that's the most elegant proof that, yeah, words might sometimes be uncomfortable, and free speech might be a bit of a struggle for people who have to you know, reason or use logic. But the bottom line, and I've said this so many times, people don't get it. You don't need free speech for words that make people feel comfortable, for governments to feel comfortable. You don't need free speech to say nice things about power. You don't need free speech to say things that make people feel all warm and fuzzy inside. You need free speech to say shit that will likely offend some people, if not everyone. And sometimes everybody needs to be fucking offended. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I wake you the fuck up? So yeah, it is Gay Pride Month. And honestly, I don't know what the I stands for. I don't care. Maybe that's what the I stands for, the LGBTQI plus. Don't know what the plus stands for. I fear that the plus on the sign means that they're going to add the pedophile soon. And yeah, you know, you'll say, Dan, that's the old slippery slope argument. Folks, back in the 80s, when people would talk about intrusion into privacy, and then people would say things like, eventually the government is going to read your mail, which at the time meant reading physical mail, not email, which we all know they do now. If you'd said things like this back in the 80s, people said, that's a slippery slope. We just need this for security. It's like the Patriot Act. If someone had told you after 9/11 that you would end up in the kind of shithole police state you live in now because of the Patriot Act, would you have gone for it? But that's not what they said. It's just temporary. It's just temporary. It's not temporary, folks. Don't be fucking stupid. So yeah, when people say to me it's a slippery slope argument that somehow next comes the pedophiles, I tell you, we live in a country where a state in our country considered legalizing post-birth abortion. I believe it may even be legal soon. Post-birth abortion. And yet we live in a society where another state decides to basically make abortion illegal for all intents and purposes. And yeah, we all want to cancel our contracts like Disney. You see, this is the thing. We're a very fallen society. If you're a Christian, I know the atheists out there don't give a fuck. But if you're a Christian and you look at this country of ours, this bully fucking country, this go around the world, blow the fuck out of people, set people's homes on fire, trash their economies, act like a total douchebag, create an internal economy of bullshit that's upside down sideways cronyism. You have this situation Anywho, I think I'm gonna move on from gay pride. I do not hate gay people. I don't, as a matter of public record, have anything against gay people. I don't think God hates gay people. I think God would like us all to do better, but we're not doing better. I think the longer we go on the path we're on as a society, the more likely it is, in the very least, in the very earthly sense, everything goes to hell. Do I think that, an entire culture should be built out of somebody's junk? No. Do I think people should be attacked because they're gay? I also say no. And if this is an issue of saying, let's just stop the fucking bullying, then that's a fucking campaign I can get on. But that applies to everybody, including the bullying of Christians, which, oh, by the way, worldwide and here in the United States happens a lot. And the other thing, too, what's even worse, and this is really a matter of religion, probably generally, is that there are a ton of people who call themselves Christians who are not. They're BMW Jesus Christians. They're fucking power Jesus Christians. They're fucking political agenda Jesus Christians. They're not actual Christians. They're hookup Jesus Christians. I'm a Christian. I don't serve the Lord because I think I'm gonna get a BMW or that I'm gonna get laid or that I'll get some political power. Actually, I think it's more likely than not that being an actual Christian in the next decade or so could be a sure bet to end up someplace not so great, at least in the earthly sense. So that's not why I'm a Christian. It isn't about power or Jesus or hooking up or any other kind of earthly bullshit. Anyways, if this was about protecting people from being beat up, this would be a no-brainer for any Christian. If Pride Month was about everybody having dignity and respecting each other for being different, for not being the same, for not all jumping on the same stupid fucking bandwagon that, oh, by the way, yeah, was corporately constructed just like fucking Christmas. If Pride Month was actually about people having a sense of dignity and self and liberty and respect and peace, then holy fuck, I would be a number one supporter of Pride and gay pride fucking parade. But it's not about that. It's selling a fucking agenda that turns sexuality into a culture. And from a Christian perspective, has some very dubious aspects. And that's the nicest fucking way I can put it. Anyways, next topic. So I was thinking about why I listened to Dane Wigington and Guy McPherson. Oh, why do I listen to Dane Wigington and Guy McPherson? Why do I listen to Dane Wigington and Guy McPherson? Probably for the same reason I'm intrigued by those 1970s shockumentaries about Bigfoot and aliens and ships that sink and giant pseudo dinosaurs that might live in Loch Ness. Guy McPherson and Dane Wigington are shocking. And frankly speaking, they're shocking, but they also seem credible. I mean, to the extent that if you listen to them, they don't sound totally crazy. I mean, they say crazy shit, but it might be true. That's the thing, folks. Sometimes we think something sounds crazy because it's so outlandishly beyond what is recognizable as reality that it just has to be fucking crazy. If somebody tells you that it's more than likely that within 10 years, everyone you know will be dead, that sounds fucking crazy. Yeah, so anyways, I think I listen to Dane Wigington and Guy McPherson because they're shocking as fuck. Anytime I think I'm being shocking or I'm saying things that are just so out there that You know, people will say I'm crazy. I can listen to Dane Wigington or Guy McPherson say, well, at least I'm not telling people that I know with certainty that either A, the world is coming to an end, or B, the world is coming to an end and humans are helping it along. In either case, humans are making it happen. They have a very shocking message. It's horrible. And maybe that's too. Maybe it's Schadenfreude again. Maybe it's titillating. Maybe it's something. Maybe it's, you know, that existential rubbernecking that is much of the internet. I mean, much of what's out there on the web is about the shock. And this is the thing. Maybe that's, I don't know. I can't prove to anybody that I am being honest when I podcast. And when I say honest, obviously there's a performance aspect to this. There is. I mean, it'd be bullshit to say there isn't. But people who know me would tell you that I often chat in conversation about the same way as I talk through the podcast. Not always with a fucking portable organ. Yeah, so anyways, so I am trying to be real when I podcast, but sometimes I think I'm shocking too. Like, for example, and to me this is simple logic. It really is. It's really very simple logic to me. But if you told me that there was nearly 100% certainty that the Earth's temperature would continue to heat up to the point that all the methane gas or enough methane would be released around the Arctic Circle from permafrost. And as you all know, permafrost basically means permanently frozen. That all that methane would get released, and that essentially we would be in runaway Venus, greenhouse effect, blah, blah, blah. Terrible, terrible, terrible. It just gets hotter and hotter. Everybody gets boiled alive. That's pretty fucking shocking. I mean, I don't know how else you put it. If you say something like that, that is shocking as fuck, but what if it's true? And so basically, I said, okay, assume that's true, and assume that the aerosol dimming effect is also true, and that is the current theory. Then it seems to me the only logical step for the powers that be would be total global thermonuclear war. And you'd say, Dan, that's crazy. Is crazy. But here's the thing. A total global thermonuclear war would totally shut down pretty much all greenhouse emissions. It would create nuclear winter because it would put so much crap into the atmosphere that you would have a period of global dimming that could last, you know, several years, maybe even longer. That entire event could have the effect of kicking the Earth into the other direction, essentially a period of cooling. Now, also, most people would be killed, like 90% plus. So you also have to recognize this is a mass murder event. Like, in order to save the possibility of our life on Earth, which means some kind of human life, some fragment of people, you would have to basically have a global thermonuclear war. But to me, that is it. That's the logic of it. If you know the Earth is going to be destroyed, or at least human life will be destroyed, not the Earth, but human life will be destroyed within a decade, and the only potential play is to use nukes to throw a lot of junk into the upper atmosphere. And in the process, you're going to kill a lot of people, but you know, you'll also halt runaway global warming, you know, the Venus effect. If it's between global thermonuclear war and the Venus effect, I mean, the Venus effect, as you know, essentially means we all get boiled alive. Nuclear war means most of us die instantaneously, rather painlessly. Others die of cancer, lots of pain, you know, radiation sickness, lots of pain. But the point is, there's in this scenario, there is no good option. So yeah, logically, I could see them doing that, but that's kind of shocking. Because that means that within the next 5 to 10 years, there has to be a major nuclear war. And I, you know, living in Seattle, I am definitely within the circular error probability, the circular explosive, whatever you want to call it, the range span or the explosive impact zones of several primary targets. I mean, we've got naval bases nearby, we have Air Force bases nearby, we have Army bases nearby, we have major infrastructure, port facilities, you name it. This little nuggety chunk of Earth is going to get nuked big time. Major, major megatons. Like probably 20 megatons will settle on Washington State before it's all over. Not all in the same place, but you know, spread out. Got to spread the wealth. And then, of course, any type of management of Hanford goes out the window, so Hanford becomes a dead zone. All the nuclear reactors will cook off. You see, it's horrible. So I want to switch topics. That's a horrible topic. Next topic is actually still kind of terrible in a way, at least to me. I don't know how else to put it. So I've watched this series. Well, before I go further, I just need to say, full disclosure, I'm not into comic books. I never read comic books when I was a kid. I was never a comic book geek. I picked up a few things because I hung out with comic book geeks, but I was never a comic book geek. So I don't know the comic book story versions of shit. I have been watching the show Jessica Jones on Netflix. And I don't even know if there is a comic book for it, but probably is, right? But I've been watching this show Jessica Jones, and it's on season 3. And for the most part, the first 2 seasons were sort of like relatively decent storyline drama. The messaging was pretty good. And then now in season 3, I'm seeing the same thing with Jessica Jones that I saw with The Punisher, and that is they're getting all fucking political. Okay? You know how The Punisher involved the Russians and all kinds of stupid bullshit? Really stupid fucking identity theory, Russia hatred, fucking bullshit. A lot of revisionist bullshit in The Punisher. Well, basically, season 3 of Jessica Jones, and it's mostly good, it's not as bad as The Punisher, is actually kind of in the same category. The main evil dude is obviously a white guy who has who you know who volunteers in the community, so he seems like a good guy, right? But he's really just a terrible serial killer. And that's the thing. I don't have an issue with, you know, the white man being a serial killer because plenty of serial killers have been white men, but they're setting this up as a kind of symbolism. At one end, so Jessica Jones gets stabbed. And her spleen is removed. So she has to take drugs. It makes it seem like the pharmaceutical industry paid Netflix money because periodically throughout the fucking series so far, her little secretary friend will say, "Hey, make sure you take your pills." Totally seems like the pharmaceutical, not one particular company, but like maybe the Pharmaceutical Industry Association said, "Hey, Netflix, here's some money. Will you make sure that even the superhero has to take some fucking drugs so people can see people taking drugs because the doctor told them to take their fucking drugs?" So yeah, we got 2 things so far. The evil white guy, A. B, make sure you take your drugs. C, and again, I'm not racist, but it's like they deliberately took this sassy woman of color and made her Jessica Jones's secretary. It was like she was deliberately put in that position. It was as if some identity theorist, some social justice warrior, doctorate, some fucking general conceptual artist of the disarray of human existence decided that every fucking pigeonhole and every fucking pigeon needed to be laid out. It was stupid. Really stupid. A gay guy shows up for a cameo in a way. Like the lawyer that, you know, I forget her name, but the evil lawyer outed. The gay guy shows up and says, "Hey, I'm gay. Thank you for outing me." That was really kind of random and seemed completely arbitrary and fucking superfluous bullshit. I don't know. I could keep going. I'm not even done with the whole fucking season yet. And, ugh. Anyways. Here's the thing, folks. I think Netflix has become a very globalist kind of enterprise. And I think it sells a certain kind of globalism. I think that, you know, I think if you watch Netflix, you're going to get the message. Here's the message you're going to get. Guns are evil unless the government's using the guns. Government is good, especially if it's the governments we like. And whatever we tell you is fine and good, and shut the fuck up. That's the message I'm getting from, that's a sophisticated fucking message I'm getting from globalists generally, but also from Netflix. And as far as Christians can go fuck themselves. If you're a Christian, you can go fuck yourself, according to Netflix. If you believe in human liberty and dignity, yeah, Netflix says you can fuck yourself. If you think every living thing, including people, have a right to defend themselves, yeah, go fuck yourself. So I don't know. Anyways, I feel like I should end this podcast because I don't know. I need to go shopping. I need to buy stuff because a great tidal wave is coming. I need to go shopping because a great discord, a great disarray is flowing out of the voluminous stomach gases of that gastric zone of the intestinal tumor that is the soul of this dark fallen world. So I gotta go shopping in a bit. I gotta go buy some stuff. I have to fill up my larder and beef up on the water purifiers and the backpacks and sleeping bags. And keep in mind, it's mainly because I'm optimistic. And you have a good weekend.